what?
Nancy's done what?
She's eloped.
How do you know?
I seen her at the bus stop this morning, didn't I? She was looking all hot and flustered, and so was the straps on her suitcase. They was having a rear old battle with all them labels from hotels in Interlaken and a Malfoy.
I am not interested in hotels, Winston. I want to know about Nancy.
Well, she was looking very tasty, Rosie, very desirable. She got what I like to call, when I'm down at the pub having a sesh, the psychological vacuity of expression, like what you find in a portrait painted by Cezanne, sort of thing, mingled with the animal sensuousness and carnal rapaciousness, what you find on the face of that saucy young bint down at the ointment counter at Boots the Chemist, sort of thing. Do I make myself clear?
No.
All right, then. Moving on to the work of the later cubist, we... All right. There's no need to flash your eyes and crack your knuckles like that. I'm only trying to put you in the picture.
I don't need a picture, Winston. I want to know what Nancy was doing at the bus stop.
So did I, Rosie. That's why I crept up behind her and gave her a dig in the ribs with my bicycle pump.
And what did she do?
What did she do? Good blimey, Charlie. She damn near jumped out of her skin and then she began to whack me over the head with her bleeding golf umbrella. Well, what happened next was obvious, wasn't it?
What?
It was obvious, Rosie, obvious. All them green gauges, what I just nicked from the religious vicarage, fell out of my shirt and started to roll about in the gutter. So what I done is this. I borrowed this blokey's bowler hat, and
I don't want to know about your green gauges, Winston. I want to know what Nancy said. For Pete's sake, stop faffing about and tell me.
Oh, Rosie, my sweet, lovely Rosie. I said it before and I'll say it again. You don't have look tasty when you're in one of your paddies and your eyes is rolling around in their sockets and
Winston,
you're going all...
I'm warning you.
Yes. Well, what I done was this, say. After I scooped up my green gauges and given this bokeh his bowler hat back, and it wasn't my fault the juice ran all down the back of his collar, was it? What I done was I turned to old Nancy, pushed her a suitcase, and I says, where are you off to then, Nancy? Flogging a load of illegal busbies to the Coldstream Guards, is it? And she looks all haughty and disdainful-like, and she says, I'm going to elope. Oh, I says, with anyone you knows? And she says, yes, with Roland. And I says, fine. Mind if I comes with you? I ain't doing nothing special when I finish nicking all these green gauges.
And what did she say to that?
Well, she kind of snorted, Rosie, down her nostrils sort of thing. And I was just about to ask her whether she remembered to pack all them clean undies. Well, I spent all night over a hot stove ironing for her when the one-man bus comes. And she's off and away without so much as a backward glance, and I drops my green gauges again, and they're squashed to pulp under the wheels of this mobile caravanette all covered in Greenpeace stickers. Bastards! You'd think that lot would have more respect for the bounties of Mother Nature, wouldn't you, love?
Oh, God! What are we going to do, Winston?
Well, we could always phone up Interpol, I suppose. I reckon they'll accept reverse call charges in an emergency, look. And if we don't get no joy there, we could always call out the local Boy Scouts. Yeah, I reckon they could rustle up a Nimrod reconnaissance plane from somewhere and then we could go...
Don't be flippant with me, Sunshine. This is serious. Nancy could be in very great danger. She's run off with someone we know absolutely nothing about.
I does. I knows what he's about.
What?
He's after his nookie, isn't he?
Winston, how could you be so cruel and so vulgar? You know perfectly well that Nancy's not like that. That's not the point of the elopement at all.
What is the point, then?
To get out of this bloody lunatic house.
Well, you won't have to elope to do that, Rosie. Your old dad's going to do it for her ultimate, isn't he? God, let me, Charlie. He's turfing the whole lot of us out of the house, look. Hook, line and sinker sort of thing at the end of the month sort of thing, look. Penniless. Destitute. That is what we're going to be, Rosie. Orphans of the storm. Pitiful waifs, like characters from a book by Charles Kingsley, 1819 to 1875.
Oh, Lord, what a mess. We've spent all our lives pandering to Father and pampering him and jumping to his every whim and fancy. And now, someone will have to tell him.
Don't look at me, Rosie. I've had a belly full of the old bugger goating about his marriage and his world cruise to foreign parts in distant climes, all rampant with tropical maidens swaying their hips and wagging their watches and... Hey, I tell you what, Rosie.
What?
Well, now Nancy's out of the way sort of thing, I've left the coast clear for us two sort of thing, innit?
Well, how do you mean?
There ain't nothing stopping us now in the shape of physical impediment from getting married and getting spliced, is there?
You what?
Oh, what do you say, Rosie? Why don't you and me elope now, this very minute? I got a new spare tire for my car, my motor, look. I'll show you how to change it if we has a blowout on the M25. I'll tell you what we'll do, Rosie. We'll live in a little whitewash cottage by the sea. And have frogs with runny noses. We'll keep bantams and geese and grow greengages and brew homemade skidmark wine. What do you say, Rosie? What do you say?
You seem to have forgotten one very important factor, Winston.
What's that, Rosie?
Lance. I've already got a home to go to. He's asked me to go and live with him.
So we have, Rosie. So we have. And if you don't mind me asking a personal question, what was your answer to that eminently desirable proposition?
I'm going to the shed to tell Father about Nancy.
Do come in, old boy. It's only me.
Hello, Father.
Oh, hello, Rosie. Don't take any notice of me. I'm only your father.
I know.
Was anything the matter, old chap? You look most fearfully worried.
I am, Father.
Well, if you ain't not to be, Rosie, there's no need to be the slightest bit concerned about my welfare.
I'm not. I'm concerned about Nancy's welfare.
Ah, Nancy. Well, tell her from me, old boy, there's no necessity whatsoever for her to lose any sleep over my impending marriage. I'm an exceedingly good catch for Mrs. Sunderland, and I intend her to make me very happy and keep me in the most splendiferous good nick. I know she's the most fearfully ugly old brute and long past the days of playing footer on the beach. But
Nancy's eloped, Father.
Mm. Has she, by Jove? Has she really? Stout fellow. we intend to live in Antibes, Mrs. Sunderland and I. Or is it Villefranche-sur-Mer? It doesn't matter, really, one way or the other, both teeming with dingoes. No, the point is, I'm turfing you out of the house, and you're not to worry. I shan't miss you in the slightest. I shall miss dear old Blighty, of course, all those November peace soupers and Binky Beaumont and the Lippies in the corner house on the Strand and Sandham and Hobbs at the Oval.
For God's sake, Father, Nancy has eloped. We don't know where she is. She could be in the most terrible danger.
I'll manage frightfully well, Rosie, don't you worry about me. When Mrs. Sunderland starts having affairs, like your mother did when she was alive, I'll sit on the veranda with a bottle of gin and a bowl full of olives, and I'll while away the time thinking of all the chums I had when I was young and in my prime. Did I ever tell you about playing Halma with Von Riffentrop the afternoon Alice Marble won the Wimbledon singles? Oh, my God, how I hate the Davis Cup.
You bastard. You selfish old bastard.
Hello? Anyone out there? Anyone listening? It's me, Nancy. I've eloped with Roland. We're staying at a small but select private hotel in somewhere in the south of England. The head waiter is Portuguese with greasy sideboards, and he doesn't suspect a thing. It's self-service for breakfast. You can help yourself. I think I might have all brands of starters, and depending on whether they're beef or pork, I'll plump for the sausages. I'm so happy. I'm deliriously happy. And so is Roland. We haven't had relationships yet at the time of going to press, but it's very much on the cards. I've got full tea-making facilities in my room, and so has Roland in his. I said he could borrow my trouser press if he wanted, but he declined. I respect a man for that, don't you? Oh, I'm so happy. I'm wildly, madly happy. And I don't give a fig about you lot. I don't care about you one single jot.
Well, don't you care, William? Aren't you worried about Nancy? It's 3 days since she's gone and we haven't heard sight nor light of her.
So? Why should I bother? I've got myself to bother about, haven't I?
What?
Well, it might have escaped your notice, Rosie, but I'm meeting Beryl this afternoon.
Who's Beryl?
My fan. She wrote me a letter about my book on the North Staffs Railway. She went into raptures about the section on the Churlet Valley branch line, and I'm meeting her at 3:30 sharp outside the parcels office at Effingham Junction. She sent me a photograph so I'd recognise her after our last meeting at Hull Paragon. Have you seen it, Father?
Ugly old brute, isn't she? I don't think she'd be much good at childbearing, William, holding her brolly like that.
No, but with them biceps of hers, I reckon she'd be a dab hand with the old plate laying.
Give it here! You're just jealous. You are! You're all jealous because I'm happy, and you're not.
No, I am happy, old boy. I'm most fearfully happy. Did I tell you I was going to marry Mrs. Sunderland and turf you all out of the house?
Yes, Father, you did.
Well, just testing you, old boy, keeping you on your toes. Look, anyone seen Nancy, by the way? It's high time she got me a new library book. One that doesn't nip me on the end of the nose when I'm reading it in bed, preferably. Oh, my God, how I hate Jackie Collins.
Hello out there. It's me, Nancy. It's 7 whole days since I eloped. They make lovely cocoa at the hotel. They give you drink mats with your beakers. We've had relationships, Roland and I. Well, almost. We would have done if they hadn't had this fascinating natural history program last night on the telly. Roland said he didn't feel quite up to it after witnessing the life and times of the common termite. I respect a man for that, don't you? I'm so happy. I'm deliriously happy. No one knows where we are. I don't think the waiters know where they are either. Well, they're all Portuguese, and they've never been very good at geography as a nation since Magellan died, have they? We're in love, and all alone together, Roland and I. We went to a show last night. Ken Dodd. You couldn't shut him up. I've a lovely individual toilet in my bathroom. It's just the right height. It makes all the difference, doesn't it? The man who takes the dead pigeons out of the gutters looks just like Winston. Only he hasn't got Winston's kindly eyes. And he doesn't smile so much and whistle through the gap in his two front teeth and spit on his hands and wink and sluck his tongue. Can you hear me out there? Can you hear me, my beloved family? Well, I don't miss you one single scrap. I don't miss you at all. I don't. My undies are really soft. Really, really soft. I wonder what Winston used when he ironed them.
Hello there, Rosie. What do you recognize?
Not a lot.
No?
No.
You look fed up.
I am.
You're worried about old Nancy, is it?
No. I'm worried about me.
Why?
Well, you might as well know it. Everyone else will sooner or later.
What?
I've been, as you would put it with your usual infinite delicacy and elegance, back-heeled.
Back-heeled?
Yes. By Lance.
A cheeky sod. I'll kick his teeth in. I'll bend his thumbs back so far, he'll not be able to use his sandwiches, side of Michaelmas, or whichever comes first. Why is he back-heeled, you, Rosie?
Because
you wouldn't go and live with him?
No. Because he's found someone else.
Who?
Well, how should I know, for God's sake? Does it matter? She could be a Fijian pole vaulter, for all I care. She could be a... Who cares? He doesn't want me. He's blown me out.
Same here.
What?
Same thing's happened to me. My inamorato from the fishmonger with the bulbous nose and the chipped toenails have blown me out too. Look.
Why?
Well, if you're interested in the mating habits of the North Atlantic turbot, Rosie, neither am I. That's why our relationship has been terminated and come to a conclusion, see? We were in the backseat of my car, my motor low, by the old barrage balloon hangers, when she took off them rubber gloves which she uses for gutting mackerel, and she makes the most interesting suggestion as regards the disposition of my puncture outfit.
I don't want to know, Winston.
No, Rosie, I don't suppose you does. What a mess, eh? All alone, the both of us, and no one to call our own.
I hate the world, Winston.
What?
I hate the world and everyone in it. Why is everyone happy except me? Father's happy. He's gloating and cackling and clucking over that ghastly old crone of his. Nancy's happy with Roland. William's happy
I'm
with...
I'm not. William! My old Wingsy Bat, where did you spring from?
I crawled in through the hedge at the back of Father's shed.
Why?
I'm so miserable, I didn't want anyone to see me.
But I thought you were out with your fan again.
I was, but she didn't turn up. She left a message with the station master. Yes, Tamworth, low level. We'd arranged to meet there to look at the points. The points are her speciality. She failed to arrive. She left this message. Well, go on, Rosie. Read it out loud. You can't heap more shame and humiliation on me.
Well, if you're really sure, William.
Read it. Oh, it's quite legible. It's written in British Rail Standard Issue indelible pencil.
Okay. If you're absolutely sure.
I am. Plunge the dagger in my heart. Twist the blade deep, deep, deep.
Dear William, I thought you were genuinely interested in me because of our mutual interest in carriage sidings and vacuum brakes. But when we met last week during our tryst on Platform 11, Clapham Junction, you pinned my back against the Nestle chocolate machine and proposed marriage. I realised... You proposed marriage, William?
Yes. The up Gatwick Express was running 7 minutes late. The Exeter St. David's stopper was running double-banked, and my whole soul was suffused by this radiance of romance and passion, and as the Portsmouth semi-fast pulled slowly out of Platform 7, I took my courage in my hands, and I... Oh, God, why did I do it? I've ruined everything. I'm so unhappy. I'm so miserable.
We all are, William. All three of us. I tell you this, my old Wingsy Bash. From henceforth, there'll be no more soft cod rolls for tea. And you can kiss goodbye and farewell to your savoury crab stinks.
And it's all because of Father. It's all because of this crazy, insane marriage and... Winston.
Yes, Rosie?
Do something. This instant. Go to Father's shed at once and stop this marriage.
Yeah, but that's...
If you love me, Winston, if you desire me and want me to marry you and live in a cottage by the sea and have bantams and geese...
Right away, Rosie. On the double. But don't forget the green gauge and the sparks with runny noses, will you?
No, come on in. It's only me.
Not disturbing you, am I?
No, not at all, old boy. I'm blankering my spats and starching my sword sink for the wedding. What can I do for you?
Well, what it is, look, is that I has been deputed, sort of thing, to come on a diplomatic mission, sort of thing, and I has been instructed to comport myself with the utmost tact and delicacy.
Oh, an old boy far away. You don't mind me.
Well, putting it as discreet and subtle as I can, sort of thing, if you go to marry this old crone, Mrs. Sunderland, with a face like the inside of a gannet's underpants, I shall be forced and compelled to punch you in the chops and biff you over the boca with the hosepipe.
Oh, no need to do that, old boy. Mrs. Sunderland's already done it.
What?
Well, figuratively speaking, of course. Mrs. Sunderland has biffed me over the boca with love.
You what?
I'm in love, old boy, with Mrs. Sunderland. Figuratively speaking, of course.
Yeah, of course.
Well, we've so much in common, you see, so much to share, so many things to do together.
At your age, you'll see best part on fire doing things like that.
Don't not that, old boy. I'm talking about the shipping forecasts.
Shipping forecasts?
Yes. That's what we like doing together, listening to the shipping forecasts on the wireless. All those lovely names, Trafalgar, Biscay, Finisterre, Bailey and Rockall. And we sit there hand in hand and we imagine all those typhoons and tempests and Bulgarian factory ships being battered by mountainous seas and Danish coasters loaded with potash and bone meal running before the eye of the storm. And leaking Cypriot cement carriers coming in for shelter in the mouth of the Scheldt. And then there are all these lovely, lovely coastal stations, Land's End, Valencia, Royal Sovereign, Butter Lewis, Malin Head, and Channel Light Vessel Automatic. You know, there's something deeply depressing about an automatic light vessel, don't you think, Winston? I wonder if they go out in an open boat at Christmas to deliver automatic parcels and an automatic turkey.
Not with the price of Christmas wrapping paper these days, not a chance.
All those things to wonder about. We sit there, hand in hand, in the closest propinquity, listening to the shipping forecasts, Mrs. Sunderland and I. And we wonder, why do the announcers always say occasional rain good? I mean, what's good about occasional rain? Bloody good downpour, yes. That's really put the wind up those ghastly nips, poisoning the oceans with their beastly tankers and slaughtering the whales and drowning the dolphins and... I don't want to be the butt of Lewis, Winston.
What?
I don't want to be the butt of Lewis. I want to be taken seriously, old chap.
Oh, well, then, that's why you're saying, though. Don't marry Mrs. Sunderland. It's a joke. It's a laugh.
No, not to me, Winston. To me, it's deadly serious. It's my last chance to reassure myself about the ghastliness of it all.
Ghastliness of what?
Well, marriage. What a fearful business, marriage, and I intend to see it through right to the bitter end.
I don't think I quite follow you.
Well, it's perfectly simple, old boy. When my wife died immediately after she was alive, I thought to myself I'd been let off too lightly.
Too lightly?
Yes. I hadn't seen it through to the bitter end. All that stretched before me was a life of blissful happiness, making myself thoroughly unpleasant to my children, burning holes in my cardigan, making slurping noises when I ate pomegranates, thinking of nothing but myself and the state of the outfield of the Batten Ball Ground, Sevenoaks. But I'm an old soldier, you see, Winston, and old soldiers never give in, they never surrender, neither shall I. I know what you're going to say.
Do you?
Oh, certainly, old boy. You're going to say that von Paulus surrendered at Stalingrad. Townshend surrendered at Kut al-Amara. Well, don't bother.
All right. I shall bear that in mind for future reference, then.
I have not the slightest intention of surrendering. I shall resume the marital battle. I shall take it right to the teeth of the enemy. I shall marry Mrs. Sunderland. But side by side, hand in hand, we shall listen to the weather forecasts on the wireless and have thundering great rows about the exact location of South of Zero and German Bight, and the howitzers will boom and the rockets will screech and shriek, and then at last there will be silence. The flares will light up no man's land. Timid voles will creep out to drink in the shadow-rimmed foxholes. Night birds will sing. Mrs. Sunderland will snore deep in the conjugal pit, and I shall sit on the veranda at Antibes and smoke my pipe and ponder on the great emptiness of eternal loneliness. I don't want to be the butt of Lewis, Winston. I want to be taken seriously.
Father! Father! Is Winston there? Have you seen him anywhere?
Nancy! Nancy, what are you doing here, my lovely darling?
I crawled through the hedge at the back of the shed so no one would see me.
Why?
Because I'm so unhappy. I'm so miserable.
Well, I'm not. I'm fearfully happy. Did I ever tell you, Nancy, that I'm marrying Mrs. Sunderland?
That evening, we sat in the dark, comforting, soothing coolness of the kitchen, Winston and I. I'd told William and Rosie what had happened, but not everything. Not the things I wanted to tell Winston.
Fire away then, Nancy. Tell old Winston all about it.
It was awful, Winston. It was dreadful. Well, not everything. The hotel was very nice.
You had to hold your elbows in when you got in the lift. I like lifts like that. They make you feel wanted somehow. The shower cap in my bedroom was a perfect fit and... We didn't have relationships, Winston.
No?
No. We were going to on Thursday, but we went to the theatre instead and saw Dear Octopus. The leading man looked just like Anna Massey. Then on Friday... On the Friday, Roland's daughters found out where we were.
Oh.
Well, apparently Roland went and sent a note to the Ministry of What's-His-Name Top Secret, telling him where to find him in case there should be an emergency in the Third World, wherever that might be. And some little man there got in touch with Roland's daughters, and they roared down hotfoot in their ghastly four-wheel drive and... Oh, the fuss they kicked up, Winston. They shouted, they screamed, they ranted. They said the most dreadful, horrid things to me, and Roland didn't do a thing. Not a thing, Winston.
Bastard, I couldn't want to biff him with Mrs. Sunderland's old pipe.
He just stood there in the health and fitness salon in his complimentary bathrobe, staring at his silly little pink piglet toes and fiddling with a keyring to his locker. And then very quietly, very meekly, he left. Just like that. He left with his daughters, and he didn't say a word to me, not a word. When I went to reception, they told me he'd paid my bill, including morning newspapers, but he'd forgotten to leave his key. He's got a penchant for keys. He seems to be obsessed with unlocking things. But he never once made an effort to unlock my heart.
I'll unlock your heart, Mrs. Oh, I love you, Nancy. I love you. I crave you. I desire you.
Do you, Winston? Do you? It's funny, isn't it?
Oh, what's funny?
The way hotel hairdryers are always so much stronger than the ones you have at home.
Huh?
And the bath shampoo always smells so much sweeter and never gets in your eyes like it does at home. And I never want to touch a man again the whole of my life.
You what?
I never want to involve myself ever again with a man. I intend to be chaste and pure. As the bard says in King Lear, get thee to a nunnery. And I will, Winston. Figuratively speaking, of course.
I see. There's only one thing wrong with that, though, missus.
And what's that?
It wasn't King Lear. It was Hamlet, wasn't it? It was Hamlet, you great stupid old cow.
What? What? Where are you going, Winston?
Obvious, my old wheezy bat. At a time like this, there is only one place a man of discernment can go. To the garden of the religious vicarage. To nick another load of greengages. Figuratively speaking, that is. Sort of thing, look.